This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
With so much going on in the world, it's been a big year for so many of us. For me, it's been a year of loss, a reminder of our own mortality and how quickly what we think of as our world, our family, our sense of certainty can change overnight. But it's also been a reminder of resilience, that even when life throws the unexpected at us, we're often stronger than we realize. And Joy Drive family, how are you feeling right now? Are you exhausted? Are you anxious? Are you excited? Are you hopeful? Or all of it at once? We'd love you to share it with us. 0427 569 949 is the SMS number. In the studio with us is Joe Ball, Victorian Commissioner for LGBTIQA plus communities. Joe, how are you feeling right now?
Look, Warren, it's always lovely to be on Joy. I mean, for those who don't know, I am a Jewish person who's also LGBTIQA plus, who's also the commissioner. As we all are, we have all these multiple identities. And I think for me, I guess I am feeling heavy, but I actually think I share that not only with Jewish people, but with everybody here in this country. So I'm sitting with that. So I do want to start by wishing people a happy Hanukkah, and we are on the fourth night of Hanukkah. And of course, Hanukkah is supposed to be the most joyous, happiest festival in the Jewish calendar. There's a lot of high holy days, and some of them are very reflective and introverted, but actually Hanukkah is the festival of the lights, which is meant to be the most public and the most outward facing. And so that's why when people were in Bondi that they were in public, because Hanukkah is not one that is reserved for going and having in your synagogue. It's meant to be having with community and sharing the joy of the light with everybody. So to have that particular festival targeted in such a horrific way brings its own kind of darkness, you know. And I think, you know, any kind of murder and any loss of life is always depressing, but you know, there's an extra element to this about how people were targeted and at a time which is actually all supposed to be about family and joy and light.
Absolutely horrific. How is it impacting the Jewish community in terms of Hanukkah? Is it still going ahead, or do people tend to think, oh, you know what, we'll stop it this year?
Well, I went and lit the menorah in Federation Square on Monday, the day after, and I had a conversation with my partner about the safety to do that. And I think that goes through every Jewish person's mind right now. How safe are we? You know, I went and did the exact, nearly the same time as, you know, on the night after in Federation Square, I was doing the same thing that people were doing when they were shot and killed. And so that was very sobering, but also that's an act of resistance, you know. And I think that's how a lot of Jewish people are feeling, is that we need to still be public and proud and continue on our way of life. And so I think that sums up how people feel. But people absolutely said to me that planned previously to go on Monday and join in what I was inviting people to be was like an LGBTIQA plus lighting of the menorah, given that as the commissioner, I would be lighting it. And, you know, I had three people contact me and they said, look, Joe, I was going to come and I wanted to come with my kids and I'm just not going to come. I'm going to go to synagogue instead. So I think people
are feeling scared, are they?
Yeah, people are feeling scared. And also really sad, I think.
Absolutely.
And, yeah.
What about how's it impacting LGBTIQA plus Jewish people as well?
Because
if you think about it, like, you've got two minorities there, haven't you?
You do. I think that it's, you know, people. Look, I mean, people, you know, I can't speak for the whole community. I can only speak for myself and people that I've spoken to. And I think that people feel that they're devastated about, you know, this specific attack on the Jewish community, and they're joining in that as a Jewish person. I think also people are hoping and looking to their queer family to wrap their arms around them. And I think that that's what people are wanting, and they aren't necessarily seeing it. Because I think, you know, when other attacks have happened that have maybe impacted us as being LGBTIQA plus people, not that we've seen this kind of attack in Australia against our communities, you know, may it never happen. But I think that, you know, people have felt more in community at this moment. And I think people are not necessarily having that experience. And so I think that, I guess this is a invitation to people who are listening who may not be Jewish, to wrap around the Jewish people in our community. And I really encourage people to post on your social media. You know, one of the call outs that I'm saying to people is, Jewish people feel like they can't go into public spaces, or they're scared, or there's a cost to going to public spaces at the moment. And so one thing that we're asking people to do is light a candle in your window every night of Hanukkah, so that people can see your light and see that you are joining them. And so Hanukkah's on till Sunday, and I encourage people to put, I've put this on my social media, and I'm encouraging people to do it every single night, is light a candle, put it in your window, and show people that you do care.
Joe, I'm going to do that from tonight. What else can people like, I mean, I'm not Jewish, but what can people like myself do to help support the community during this time without just, you know, words?
I think trying to show, I think, you know, social media is one way. And I think, you know, sharing posts of Jewish people, your Jewish friends, commenting on them, liking them and saying, you know, I'm here for you. But also, so that's social media. But also I think, send those text messages. You know, I do think that people, I am hearing, I want to receive them, and I know that other people do want to receive them. Do send that text message. And I've gotten some great ones with what I think is a good way to do it is to say, I'm thinking of you, and you don't need to necessarily reply to me, but that's, I'm just letting you know, because I think sometimes people, when they're in grief, and you got to remember, some people in the Jewish community have actually directly lost somebody. And or they know that family, or they know that, you know, they know of that rabbi, or they know of that person.
Is it very close knit?
It's very close knit. There isn't that many Jewish people in Australia. We are a very small community, and the largest one is in Melbourne. You know, just around where we are right now in St Kilda. I mean, obviously it's in Caulfield, Elwood, Bentley. You know, it's over that way, but including St Kilda. And so I think it is a really small community. And people do know each other and have often met each other or know of each other's families. Like, for example, people don't know this fact about it, is that Melbourne has the largest Holocaust survivors community in all of Australia. So a lot of Jewish people who live in Melbourne are descendants of Holocaust survivors. And that's about immigration and, you know, refugee status and people coming here at a particular time.
And of course, we've got the museum as well.
That's right. We've got the museum. There's two museums, and people, that's another thing people could do. They could go to the museum. People could also lay flowers. There's like where I live in the main street of St Kilda Mall. So people thinking about where all those cake shops are, there is a menorah in the main street. And people are going there and laying flowers. And so people could do that. You could lay flowers down at menorahs, so it's show publicly. You could put flowers outside of a synagogue near you. You could, go to the Jewish Museum. So there's the Jewish Museum of Culture, like it's called the Jewish Museum. And then there's the Holocaust Museum. And they're two separate museums. And I think going to the Jewish Museum might be a good time right now, like rather than the Holocaust Museum. You can do that at a different time and maybe around different times of the year. But I think, you know, going to the culture one and just showing up, yeah, showing that you care.
I'm glad we've had this conversation because, I've got to admit personally, I often feel like I'm not sure what to do. I don't,
Totally.
You know, I don't know what is acceptable in terms of another culture. And of course, there's that hesitation to want to offend. Mm. So it's really good to have these conversations.
I think that we always err on the side of not wanting to intrude. And maybe that's our own way of life as Australians, whatever that means to us. But I think that I do know that people want to see the support and they are looking for it. So this is your invitation to do that. I encourage you to do it.
So light a candle tonight, and Sunday night is the final night.
And if you are doing it, I encourage you to tag me in it, like, and I'll reshare it and amplify the message out. Just share it. Tag me as the LGBTIQA+ commissioner on Instagram. That's where I'm doing it. And do that. And then let's like make a bit of a feed of light.
Love it. We're chatting with Joe Ball, Victorian Commissioner for LGBTIQA+ communities, for an interview check-in and a look ahead. How are you feeling, Joy Drive family? 0427-569-949 is the SMS number. Joe, as you look back over this year, what moments or themes stand out the most for you?
Yeah, well, when I was brainstorming this coming in, what I actually thought is the multicultural and multi-faith events that I've been to over this year, that, and to zoom that out even more, just the sheer diversity of our community. So, but there's been lots of amazing multi-faith, multicultural events. This year, the AGMC, which is our Australian GLBT Multicultural Council, turned 20 years. So that's our multicultural council. And that was, it turned 20 years old. I went to like three queer Ramadans this year that are amazing events to go to. Gay and Greek had their... oh, maybe 25th birthday. Oh. Sorry, Gay and Greek, if I'm getting that wrong. But I went to a Gay and Greek event. That was amazing. Greek dancing. Like, food? Just the food. The food comes really late at night. There, but that's part of it. And amazing drinking. I didn't mean to say that. Amazing dancing. Amazing food. That was good. I went to Many Coloured Sky. That's an asylum seeker event. And they have them regularly for people to come together. And I went to Pride Shabbats, which are... Jewish events. So I felt very, over the last year, ensconced in the diversity of our community. And I think I'd encourage people to get more involved in the multicultural events in our calendar. And I always try and share them. I know Joy tries and shares them, but I really encourage people to just really follow a group like AGMC and then do come to these amazing events. They are very colourful. They always have the best food. And I highly recommend it.
And you learn about other cultures, which breaks down all those barriers.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Fantastic. Were there any wins, either big or small, that really stayed with you this year, Joe?
Yeah, I'm going to make it three. Okay. And they are, the year began with the anti-vilification legislation, mm-hmm. which was, really started when anti-trans activists and neo-Nazis were on the steps of Parliament House and dropped that banner with that offensive message on it. And that spurred on the conversation that was already in train, but it really escalated it for us to have anti-vilification legislation. Now, if people dropped a banner like that today, they would be prone to the anti-vilification legislation and people would be able to complain and get action. So that's happened. The second one would be intersex legislation. So anti-vilification was right at the beginning of the year. The intersex legislation to ban harmful and unnecessary surgeries against intersex children just happened at the very beginning of December. And my third favourite, which I think is for all of us, which is treaty. We have a treaty in Victoria with our First Nations people, the first treaty in the country, and I feel really proud of that. I feel really proud of our Rainbow Mob that have worked on that. The CEO of the First Peoples Assembly is Damien Bell. He's a gay Aboriginal man. So much love to him. He's done so much work this year and he's played a pivotal role.
Joe, you've touched on what happened at Bondi Beach on the weekend, but were there any other moments that felt particularly heavy, and how did you steady yourself through those?
I think the tech facilitated abuse against gay and bisexual men, extremely heavy. I'm going to make an assumption that listeners know somewhat about that, but hundreds of gay men over the last year plus have been bashed, lured by dating apps. It was and engaging with that, meeting people who had directly experienced that. I co-hosted a community forum at the Laird this year, and men who had been bashed, some who had reported to police, some who hadn't, I got to meet them face to face, and there's something very extremely sobering and real about sitting across the table from somebody who tells you about that experience. And, I think lots of us had hoped that era of gay and bisexual men being bashed was over, and it isn't. So that was huge.
And the internet has just opened up another avenue for it to happen.
That's right.
Do we know how many are being reported and how many aren't? Because I'm sure that a lot of people would be too afraid to report them, which is a shame.
No, we have some indication based on the fact that people might be seeking help, for example, from Thorn Harbour Health, and people should seek help if they need it. There has been reports to police. There has been 35 and counting and more of arrests by the Victorian police of people, some who've done multiple offences against bashings. So I think that We don't know the full extent of it. It's well and truly in the hundreds of people. Ooh. And I think people are absolutely not reporting, but we need people to report because we need to be able to capture how serious this is and get action around it from the Victorian government and the federal government as well. It's not just happening in Victoria. It's happening across Australia and it's happening across the world.
And terrific, because these people are probably alone going somewhere and then it happens. And I just think, how vulnerable.
Yeah, and I think one of the things I found from talking to victim survivors of these incidents is that people felt deep stigma and shame. However, people, like, they felt like they had been foolish or silly, but when you actually spoke to them, people had, a lot of the time, they'd taken a lot of precautions, as in meeting someone in a public place first, asking for photos to verify. People had done things and people were not tech silly. They were often tech savvy. And it was just that these people were very crafty in their ability to use and abuse, you know, dating apps for this thing. You know, we are, I mean, a good win about this actually is that Grindr is now doing AI recognition for, you know, age as examples, and through that, that people have to submit photos. And then if people use these apps, and they are going to have to use photos to identify themselves. And I know that may be hard for some people, but we do need to be able to track people that are doing this, and we need to stop it.
Absolutely. Let's talk about the community. As the year comes to a close, how are you sensing the mood across LGBTIQA plus communities?
I think that it's, you know, this year is really being tainted by now this terrorist attack, and everyone, I think, is very anxious. I think different parts of the community are feeling in pain. Of course, Jewish members of our community, but then I think exactly the gay and bisexual men who feel like it's been a very difficult year and a worrisome year. I think trans and gender diverse people are very worried about what's happening globally with the, you know, trans backlash and what's coming out of the UK, New Zealand, and of course Trump. So I think that people have got heavy hearts and they're concerned and they're worried and they're anxious. And I think that it's no better time because of all that for us to look towards what I think is our community's greatest light, which is Midsummer. You know, like, I think we do actually need to have an amazing Midsummer. So people, I think, need to get in the mood and they need to look at the program and people need to reach out and connect with each other.
Absolutely. Now, we spoke about how the Jewish community at the moment need connection. Where have you seen connection thrive this year?
I think that I have seen people really show up for each other. I have to say that. I mean, I am party to some very hard things. It's often shared with me when people die, including by suicide. And people share that with me, and in the process I often get to hear a little bit about the grief and trauma that the community around that person might be experiencing. But what I've seen over and over again is wonderful people showing up for each other, opening up spaces. There's been someone who lost their life in Gippsland recently to suicide, and I saw an incredible community response. They have a centre out there in Gippsland and Trafalgar, and people just opened their doors and said to people, if you're struggling with this, come in. And I believe they had their doors open even today. And that's one example, but I've seen that over and over again, people reaching out and offering support to each other. And I'm very, very proud of our community for doing that. I think people also are running very accessible, interesting, dynamic events. People are running events where they're thinking really consciously about making sure it's being disability accessible, making sure that it's thinking about the neurodiverse community as well. I'm just seeing some really amazing things from our community to think about. How do we connect and how do we connect better? You know, we're a long way away from where the only way you can connect is to go to a bar. Actually, there's so much on offer now. There's sober nights in bars, but there's also events for rainbow families, Midsummer has like about 5 different rainbow family events. There's events for older people. In Seniors Month, I was talking to you about
Seniors
Month. There were 16 events in Seniors Month, which is...
That's amazing.
Across Victoria. So I feel like we're getting really good at understanding that it's not a one-size-fits-all and we need in-place events. We need events to be accessible, and the accessible includes age and stage and family and culture, disability, and I think our community is getting... I think our community leads on these issues, actually.
When you think about 2026, Joe, what are you most hopeful about?
I'm hopeful that out of despair, concern and anxiety, we will actually just turn towards each other more than we ever have. That's what I want to see. And I think that we have the potential to do it. And I think we do it best when, where we can, we put down our phones, we get off the internet and we come into a place with each other.
I agree.
I mean, one example of that was the Laird event, where people were... not everyone can come to the Laird event of where they live, and obviously it's a men's only bar, but when we had that event about gay and bisexual men being bashed, how people showed up for each other. And they just, they came, and as I said, I've seen this in the instances when people have died as well. I think we know how to do this. We've been doing this for a really long time. We have learnt that through pain, through sheer despair, and we learnt this through the AIDS epidemic, we know how to show up for each other.
Absolutely.
We know how to light candles. We know how to have vigils. We know how to dance like we don't have tomorrow, and we can do this. And I think actually the LGBTIQA+ community has a responsibility to show other people, other communities, that we can choose to be together rather than choosing division.
Do you think we sort of were floating apart a little bit and now the momentum is there again to galvanise together?
I think the opportunity is hanging right in front of us. I don't think we've yet grasped it to the full extent, but I think we can. And I think there are these pockets where we've shown we can do this. And I think that we need to lean into that. I don't think we're... I think we have the potential, the understanding and the passion to do this. And I think that... But there's a tension about whether we're going to seize this moment and do that. But I think we as LGBTIQA+, us as queers, us as like all the things that we are, we have the opportunity to show everybody how to do this. And, you know, we've done it before. Like, you know, during COVID, we were one of the most tested, vaccinated groups in Australia. And why were we? Because we went through AIDS, right? We were a very fantastic group of people of being COVID safe. So I think let's be a fantastic group of people now leading Australia like we did during COVID about how we can be together and form community.
And during AIDS, we all came together, everyone, every part of the community. So we need to see that again. Let's talk about the festive season, because it can be complicated. What are some gentle ways we can look after ourselves in the weeks ahead, Joe?
I think you've got to have a plan. This is always my answer to this, like, or to things that are coming up that you know are coming up. You can't always plan for trauma or hard times, but Christmas comes but once a year, and we know that this is a hard time. It's a hard time for lots of people. It's a time when you think about who you've lost in the year, who you're not with, who you wish was here, you know, like... And it's a really hard time when people aren't accepted into their families, and you've got all this time off and services are closed. People, your friends are less available, you know. So what I say is plan, plan, plan. You know it's coming up. Have a strategy. Journal it. Write it down. What are you going to do to make this time better for you? If you think you're going to spend that day alone, well, Joy Radio, Sat Mag is on.
Here.
I'm going to be on Sat Mag. It's a Saturday again. I think it is a Saturday. Or anyway, I'm going to be on Sat Mag. Or Sat Mag runs on Christmas Day regardless,
That's right.
I think. So it may not be a Saturday. But I'm going to be on there. Tune in. tune into Joy. These are different ways that you can be connected. You don't need to be alone. There is also events across the state. Look at your local areas. There's the Positive Living Lunch in Melbourne that's on every single year, run by Drummond Street Services. Plan for it, work out what you're going to do, and have a support person.
Absolutely. If someone is feeling disconnected right now, because not everyone has the confidence necessarily to go along to these events, what would you want them to hear, Joe?
Look, there's Q Life. You know, we have services. You can call up Q Life, which has a chat function as well, if you don't want to talk, but you want to chat. I encourage people to call Q Life to connect that way. I encourage people to engage with each other on social media in a respectful and kind way. Sometimes the comments fields under people's posts can be a community. And I encourage people to engage if that's something you want to do. I mean, people can always write comments on under my posts, and they're going to stay there as long as you're not having a go at somebody else or being offensive. It's going to stay there. So I encourage people to find these different ways of finding each other. There's always the mainstream helplines as well. There's always Lifeline. There's Reach Out. If you're under 18, there's Kids Helpline. You know, the list goes on. I think that be creative, connect with people, and it's a difficult time. It can be a difficult time. And I think that remember that you are loved and you need to stay with us if you're struggling. We want you here. And don't give up, you know, get through the day if you're struggling, and, you know, plan for it. Plan.
And also, if you feel isolated on Christmas Day, like you said, you're not. And a lot of us feel that way.
A lot of us do. Mm. Look, I think we sometimes think, we put in our head this idea that there's all these people out there that are having the time of their life on Christmas Day. Maybe it's because they've shared a picture of their dog dressed up in a Santa suit. But maybe sometimes what that person is doing is just putting some love and light out in the world because they need it as much as anybody else. And actually, you could make their day by telling them how great their dog looks, you know, loving the picture, engaging in a nice way. Never assume that anybody is exactly, you know, 100%, and just be kind, be nice. And, if you can't be, then have a gossip and a bitch with your friends offline. You know what I mean?
Exactly. that's Joe, I want to say thank you, not just for today, but for always being so accessible and for continuing to show up on Drive. It really matters to everyone. So we wish you a safe and restorative festive period and a bit of time to recharge yourself because you work so hard.
Yeah, look, I'm really looking forward to spending time with my extended family, and it's my second Christmas with my daughter, and spending a wonderful time with my partner and her extended family, and swimming, getting in the water and swimming.
So you get to experience both cultures.
Yes, I do. Oh. I do. So I will be doing Christmas. I do Christmas, and that will be, that's great. I mean, that's sort of something that people may not know about. A lot of Jewish people do celebrate Christmas. I guarantee you they probably don't see it as the birth of Christ, but I don't think every listener here necessarily considers Christmas the birth of Christ. It's unlikely that they will do the religious significance around the day, but a lot of people see it as an important, they enjoy this, you know, a lot of Jewish people still enjoy the gift giving, and they're still part of cultures and families and people that do observe. So, yeah.
Look, I'm not Christian, but I still celebrate Christmas because I love the lights.
That's right.
And the trees and the food. All exactly. That stuff. Joe Ball, thank you so much for coming in and giving us the time, and we'll catch you next year.
I will absolutely be back next year on your show. I love Drive. So
fantastic. Thank you. Thank you. That's Joe Ball, Victorian Commissioner for LGBTIQA plus communities.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.